All right. First of all, thank you so much for joining me and being so many people. I'm really excited. This is the first time that I am holding a talk at a chaos event, especially with so many people in the audience. And I'm very excited and looking forward to this. Let's go into a quick overview. We'll start personal. Who am I? What is a Zulip? I will go technical, a little bit political, and then come back to practical. It should be about 45 minutes, and there's time for questions at the end. If you raise your hands, there is some chance that it's okay to just interrupt. But yeah, so that's me. I'm Merle. I make things, I break things, and I occasionally write about it. I've been programming since I was 14. There are very few tech stacks that I haven't touched yet in my life. And I did my apprenticeship at SUSE Linux as a Fachinformatikerin für Anwendungsentwicklung. The German term is amazing. It's computer science expert subject area software engineering, which sounds super overkill. And at the moment, I do Linux client management at a consulting company. So Linux desktops for companies that want to give their employees Linux. And I do a lot of stuff with Foreman, OpenQA, Python tooling. And apparently, in my free time, I also build apps that are supposed to notify me. So this whole thing really just started when I joined my new company. And they use a Slack clone called Zulip. Does anybody here know it? Like, please raise your hands if people know Zulip. Okay, I can see like 5-6 hands maybe. So for the rest of you, Zulip is like Slack, but it's open source, it's self-hosted and free. That sounds great, right? On the desktop, Zulip works perfectly. It's a Electron app that keeps a WebSocket connection in the background, and you know those from Slack, Teams, whatever. And a WebSocket connection is basically an open channel with a specific protocol. So no issues, works great. So then I installed the mobile app, and I waited, and I waited, and then someone writes me, and I check my phone, nothing. I open the app, oh, 5 unread messages. It's a messenger that doesn't notify you. Let me repeat that. It's a messenger that doesn't message you. And that was a little bit silly. And yes, Zulip does have a push service, but our server is self-hosted. In the past, it actually was part of the normal tier. And now with their changes, you would need to set it up separately. And above 10 users, it costs money. And I'm like, how hard can it be? Famous last words. All right. So I had already built small apps with Capacitor, which is like a cross-platform framework in web languages and TypeScript before. So I wrote a little service. And that listens to Zulip events. Zulip has an event queue API. You register a queue, you poll it. Long polling means you ask the server, is there anything new? And then it holds the connection open until there is something new. And then it responds, the connection gets closed, and the client sees it instantly and opens another connection. It's pretty old school, but it works. One evening of work, I figured. And I assembled it, deployed it, and it works. Notifications are coming in. Nice. Problem solved? Well, almost. Then something hits me. My service polls permanently. On the phone, something has to listen all the time. For one app, that's okay. But I don't have one app on my phone. I have like 50. And if every single one of them works like this, then 50 open connections with 50 times polling, my battery is going to be dead by 2 p.m. So it really does not scale, and I don't want to have 50 wake clocks permanently open that will just kill my phone. So that can't be state of the art. So I started researching. Stack Overflow, blog posts, went into Android documentation. I actually even threw it once into ChatGPT and instantly discarded it, and went a little bit deeper than I thought. And that's why you're sitting here now, and that's why I'm talking about it for like 45 minutes now. So Google and Apple had the exact same problem. Every app holds its own connection, the battery dies. Their solution was centralize it. APNs, Apple Push Notification Service, came in 2009. GCM, Google Cloud Messaging, came in 2012. Today, it's FCM, Firebase Cloud Messaging, so they renamed it. So there is one single connection for all apps. And the clever part, the app doesn't even have to be running. So let's go a little bit into this. Your server wants to tell you something. You want to send out a notification. So you send a message to Firebase Cloud Messaging, FCM. That's Google's push infrastructure. And FCM has a single connection to your phone. It's always up and very efficient. Then Google wakes up the app and says, hey, go check. And the app then fetches the actual message from your server. It's a triangle, so your server never talks directly to the phone to initiate the notification. It's always going through Google. And on iOS, it is identical. There it's just called Apple Push Notification Service, APNs. And on iOS, there isn't even an alternative. Apple does not allow persistent background connections. So if you want push, you go through Apple. And on Android, at least we can break out. On iOS, Apple has full control. It's not very surprising, but it's still good to say it. So this is pretty clever. It's genuinely smart. Instead of 50 apps with 50 connections, you have one. It runs deep in the system, not some background process that the operating system kills, but it's like anchored in Play services and works incredibly reliable. They have put 15 years of optimization into this, like heartbeat intervals, network switching, doze mode, that's Android's battery saving that pauses background work. Building that yourself is ambitious. And small little fun fact, Firebase Cloud Messaging has no limit, no free tier with a cap. There is no pay as you go above a certain amount. Whenever you send, whether you send 1,000 or 1 billion messages a month, it's free and it's unlimited, and they say it is forever. So ask yourself, why would Google give you unlimited free access to their global push infrastructure? If the product is free, So look at that list. Who uses FCM? Basically everyone. Signal, the privacy app, uses FCM. Element, Matrix default client, open source, also uses FCM. Telegram also uses FCM. There's basically no messaging app in the Western world that doesn't use it. And we're talking about apps that explicitly market themselves as protecting your privacy. They all still send their wake-up ping through Google. There is one notable exception, Conversations. It's the XMPP client. The F-Droid version has been running without FCM since 2014. That's over 12 years. And XMPP has protocol-level features for efficient background connections, so the battery hit is much smaller than, say, Signal's WebSocket fallback. It can be done, you just have to want it. So, quick thought. FCM doesn't work in China. It's blocked. Great firewall and everything. So what do they do? Chinese developers usually integrate 5, 6, 7 push SDKs. They have Xiaomi Push, Huawei Push, Oppo Push, Vivo Push, Honor Push. There's a lot. And there is one for each phone manufacturer, basically. That's messy, but it works. So this isn't really a law. It's more market structure, and in China, the workaround is ugly, but it exists. It doesn't have to be like this. It's a Western phenomenon and not a technical one. All right, let's go into what Google and Apple actually see with all of this. Every push goes through Google, every single one. Google doesn't know what's inside, but they see the envelope which app gets pinged. At what time, how often per day, on which device, And FCM works even without a Google account, so you don't need to be logged in, not even with Micro G. On the vast majority of devices, you are logged in, and then Google can internally correlate your device token with your account. And now imagine when you have 3 billion Android devices and 15 years of data. Now you might say, okay, Google sees that I get a Signal message. So what? They can't see the content. And that's kind of the standard argument. This is Stuart Baker. He is general counsel, or he was general counsel of the NSA. That's basically a chief lawyer. So he's not some whistleblower or like any kind of activist. And this guy saw what happens on the inside. And he gave a very interesting quote. He said, "Metadata absolutely tells you everything about somebody's life. If you have enough metadata, you don't really need content." Let that quote sink in. It goes even further. This is even a bit more extreme. This is Michael Hayden, ex-CIA, NSA director, and he said, "We kill people based on metadata." Former director of the CIA. The context was military. It was about drone strikes, but the principle holds. Metadata is enough to identify people, to track them, and to profile them. So let's go into an example that illustrates what metadata correlation actually looks like. Monday, 7:15 in the morning, Tinder. 8:30 till end of the day, lots of Slack push notifications. Lunch, Lieferando. And then at 10 p.m., 3 Signal messages. I didn't read a single message, but I know when this person most likely works. I know that they're dating and that there's someone they text every evening most likely. And that's just one day. Imagine what that looks like for a year. So let's get even more political. December 2023, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden got a tip and wrote to the Department of Justice. In the spring of 2022, my office received a tip that government agencies in foreign countries were demanding smartphone push notification records from Google and Apple. So they weren't requesting the content, they were only requesting the metadata. And Apple's response was, "The federal government prohibited us from sharing any information." So they weren't even allowed to say that these requests existed. And that was December 2023, over 2 years ago. And has anything changed since then? A little bit. Apple has raised the bar. So now they require a court order instead of subpoena. So a subpoena can be issued by a prosecutor alone, and a court order doesn't need a judge. That is a little bit harder, so that does sound better. And the requests still nearly tripled. 119 in the first half of 2023, and then 312 by the end of 2024. So either more agencies are interested now, or they just hadn't asked before. And now the fun part for us, in Germany, 19 requests have also been made in the second half of 2024. Apple has granted 7 out of 19. I also have sources for a lot of the claims that I make. You can see them here next to it, and I will upload the PDF for this as well, so you can take a look. Checking Google, they don't even report push requests separately. Let's go a bit further. Last year, a researcher published a paper on Archive. That was immensely interesting to me, with the title "The Medium is the Message." They looked at 21 messaging apps and were interested what actually ends up at Firebase. And they figured out that 11 out of 21 that they looked at forwarded metadata to Firebase, 7 out of 21 leaked sender or recipient names, 4 apps sent the full message content in plain text, and that's pretty rough. That's over 1 billion installs combined in plain text through Google servers. And that wasn't really disclosed in any of the privacy policies of the apps. They were basically all boilerplate and pretty generic wording. So, that is quite harrowing. So Signal does it right. They only send empty notifications through Google, just a ping. App wakes up, fetches the message itself, decrypts it locally. That's called push to sync. Meredith Whittaker is Signal's president, and she said push notifications for Signal never contain sensitive unencrypted data. But that still doesn't solve the metadata problem. So we're at GPN here. We host our own infrastructure, and there's got to be something for push to, for sure. Isn't there something from this open source thingy? And there is, Unified Push. It's a small project, but it works. It's an open standard, so not every app has to build its own push channel, and without Google being in between. The architecture is almost identical to FCM. We can see it again. Instead of Google Play services, you install a distributor app that holds a WebSocket connection, which is that permanent open channel, to your own server or a server that you trust. And then other apps on the phone can say, hey, distributor, if something comes in from me, please let me know. So same architecture, except that every box in that diagram belongs to you or can belong to you. Let's look at Notify. It's the most well-known unified push distributor. Very quick disclaimer, Notify recently had some AI slop issues in a release, which sucks. This talk was already done, and I didn't have the resources to swap it out. If that understandably bothers you, there are really good alternatives. I'm still using it as the example because it's the most popular one, and the architecture is the same regardless. So what sold me on Notify is that there's basically zero overhead. You don't have to create some API token or Firebase project. You don't have to create service accounts, JSON credentials. It's basically a Go binary, one port, and it's done. And if you just want to try it out, a public instance, Notify, so ntfy.sh is public, and it's free, and you don't need an account for it. And also, somewhat interesting, if you already use XMPP, you can also use the Conversations app as a unified push distributor. The connection is already there, so you don't need a second one for Notify. It literally is just curl. That's all you need. stupid easy. Curl a URL, your text, and any language that can do HTTP can do Notify. And I can basically just show that. Live demos are always scary, but let's try this out. I hope this works. So it says it's subscribed, and now I can just say hello GPN24 of notify.sh mit dem Topic. I can say hello GPN24 on the topic GPN24 demo. And then I should get a notification. And there it is. Hey, that's pretty nice. And if someone online or here types incredibly quickly, then they could also show a notification here. It is incredibly easy to use, as you can see. All right, let's go back to the talk. Let's join it. Put that here. And we should be back in business. Cool. One HTTP post, you don't need our registration, and it just works. So that does sound great. Why doesn't everyone use it? Basically because Android vendors aggressively kill background apps to save battery. There's a really interesting website called don'tkillmyapp.com, and almost every vendor scores a 5 out of 5 on the crap scale. They basically have like a poop emoji on their page. And FCM is built by Google. Nobody kills that. And your Notify app also gets killed. And that's the fundamental problem. The alternative works technically, but it's not used enough by a lot of apps, and it is kind of hard to deal with. The operating system actively works against it. So there are quite a few apps with unified push support. Element supports it, Tusky, FiddyLab, FluffyChat, Nextcloud, Molly. They're all like in the Fediverse and self-hosting crowd, so that makes a lot of sense. Zulip itself has had an open issue for years, and the big ones like Signal and WhatsApp and Telegram, that's not going to happen. They don't have a lot of interest in this. They have different priorities, and the market is too small, I would guess. So I'm a bit curious, how many of you run your own Matrix server or their own infrastructure? That is a lot of people. I like that. It's like, I think 8, 9? Really cool. I love that. So Matrix is the poster child for self-hosting. You got your own home server with your own data, and then everything can be in your hands. And Matrix has its own push gateway. It's called Signal, with a Y, not with an I. And you can self-host that too. And the problem with Signal is that at the end of the chain, it's still Google or Apple with the default gateway that Matrix has. Or at least with Element, the default client, that one is hard-coded to the public Signal gateway of matrix.org, and they use FCM at the end. So even self-hosted Matrix doesn't mean independent from Google necessarily. So Element and FluffyChat do support unified push. By default, it does go through Google no matter how much Matrix you self-host. What about Signal? Signal does use FCM, as we've established. But what if you don't want Google? If you're, for example, on a Graphene device and don't have anything set up for it, then Signal does have a WebSocket fallback. It keeps a connection open and has a keep alive every 55 seconds. It's that same problem again with battery issues. There have been one or two reports by people where 40 to 50% battery drain came from Signal alone on Graphene OS. I duly hope that has been fixed and was only like a very small minority of people. But for some people, it does mean battery drain or metadata for Google. Pick one. Signal and Unified Push was proposed. It was GitHub issue 12.4.90. Users requested it. And a response from Signal was basically, we don't anticipate doing this work. We reserve GitHub for bug reports, not feature requests, which is why this was closed before. And I would guess that a reason for that is like more attack surface. There is more maintenance for 1% of users. And that's fair enough. But I don't know, I don't like that. The privacy app itself is basically telling you to use Google. So the community did it themselves. There is Molly, which you can just download on F-Droid, and it's a hardened Signal fork. It has unified push support, it has an encrypted database, it has Tor support. It is a very small team. It has fewer formal audits than Signal itself, of course. But for people without Google, that is definitely the better option. So this is what it looks like with Molly. Molly gets notifications by running a Rust gateway on your own server, and it then registers as a linked Signal device, and then it's the same logic architecture that we've been talking about all along. So no encryption keys, they throw it away. It's just a doorbell and nothing more. Sweet. So what about iOS? Apple does not allow alternatives. There is web push since iOS 16.4, which does sound promising, but under the hood, that still goes through APNs. So unified push needs an app that permanently hosts that connection. iOS kills that immediately. There is like one thing. There's the Digital Markets Act that forced site loading, but APN still remains untouched because, like, why would it be not enough? Or people complained, or basically nobody complained. But that could be a way that Apple could be forced to offer an alternative. So everything I'm showing you is Android only. If you got iOS people on your team, they will need a different plan or lots of patience. So then the thing happens that always happens when you spend weeks digging into a topic. You see it basically everywhere. So Friday, some colleagues are debugging a CloudWatch alarm in Zulip. There was some health check, and there was no data for 10 minutes, and it was usual troubleshooting. And then a colleague writes, I get a really loud ping when something comes in from SNS. So if something weird shows up, I'm already on it. SNS is Amazon Simple Notification Service. That's where like the CloudWatch alarm would go. And this colleague gets them on his phone. And I read that and I thought, like, wait, how does SNS ping to get to his phone? Yeah, FCM. So CloudWatch fires, SCN forwards it, and at the end it lands at Firebase at Google on the phone. So I've been thinking about chat notifications for weeks, and suddenly I'm reading normal debugging threads and I realize this isn't just a personal problem. Like, it affects everything. So no matter what alert chain that you have, Prometheus, PagerDuty, FCM, phone. Grafana, pushover, FCM, phone. You got your CI/CD, Slack, FCM, phone. That's three different pretty common monitoring stacks, and at the end it's always the same thing. And then this happens. On June 12, 2025, a broken quota update triggers like a null pointer in service control, which replicates globally at Google. And then for like 7 hours, Firebase was down, and cloud messaging was down as well. And the blast radius was huge. Spotify, Discord, Snapchat, Shopify, OpenAI, more like closed AI, GitLab, Twitch, all were gone. And Google Cloud CEO Thomas Kurian had to publicly explain himself. So that wasn't just a hiccup. That was a global outage. And if your alerting goes through FCM, you'll be potentially the last to know. This is PagerDuty pricing. For professional, you pay $21 per user per month. For business, it's $41, enterprise $60 to $90. According to vendor, a typical contract runs like $40,000 to $65,000 a year. That's $60,000. And the last mile, the one that's supposed to wake you up at 3 a.m., that belongs to Google for free, with no service level agreement. And in case someone's thinking, sure, but a dependency like that never actually becomes a problem, let's look at this. May 15, 2019, Trump, our beloved Orange, signs an executive order, and Huawei gets on the entity list, meaning that US companies cannot do business with them anymore. So overnight, all new Huawei phones lose access to Google Play services. And with it, they also lose FCM. And that's what it looks like. That was The Verge on May 2019. So it already happened. So Huawei had to build its own push system within months. They called it HMS Huawei Mobile Services. Existing devices could keep Google, and all new devices had no FCM, no Play Store, no Gmail. And there was $12 billion in lost revenue in 2019 alone, and market share in Europe went from over 20% to under 5%, more like in the 2 to 3% in just a few years. So that's over $100 billion in revenue just with one political signature. And their entire mobile strategy was gone. So if that can happen to Huawei, it can happen to anyone, to a lot of people. And in the Firebase Terms of Service, it says material changes take effect 14 days after publication. So they can discontinue the service anytime. As we've established, there is no SLA, no service level agreement. They don't have an uptime guarantee. And stuff like that has happened before. In 2018, they had the Google Maps API that was free for years. And then suddenly they increased the prices up to 1,400%, made it more expensive. And then thousands of projects had to rebuild overnight. And there's a wonderful resource called killedbygoogle.com. They kill a lot of services. 295 plus discontinued services, FCM is free today. Let's think in a different direction. Some networks are not allowed to reach the internet by design. So they can't reach PagerDuty, they can't reach FCM. That's like military, nuclear plants, government networks, lots of critical infrastructure. And how do they alerting? Either they don't, or they do it self-hosted. For those of you dealing with compliance, I do not envy you. It is not a lot of fun. NIS2, that's the EU directive for network and information security, says you need to have an early warning out within 24 hours. And that's 72 hours for initial assessment, and there's fines up to 10 million euros or 2% of revenue. And now the BSE, Germany's Federal Cybersecurity Agency, asks during an incident, when did you know about it? And if your alerting goes through FCM, you have no logs showing when their alert arrived on the phone, whether it arrived at all. And there's still ways, of course, to recreate and think through when stuff started degrading, but it is still nice to have better access and more control over it. So Notify or Unified Push on your infrastructure does give you those logs. Here's an example of how it could look like. It's immensely easy. You have an alert manager config in a YAML file, you have a webhook, and it's done. Prometheus fires, alert manager sends it to your Notify server, your phone is connected to that Notify server through a simple app, and it all stays on your infra. It's not really just four lines of config, but it is immensely easy. And it is a whole lot cheaper. A Notify server needs a virtual machine with a few hundred megs of RAM. It can run on a machine you already have, and the cost is practically zero. Notify is not PagerDuty. It's not the same thing. I'm not saying they are the same thing. Like, it doesn't do escalation. It doesn't do on-call rotation. But I am talking about the last mile, like the bit that does wake you up at 3 a.m. And if Notify does go down, it fails inside your monitoring. You see it with PagerDuty over FCM. It might be happening that your chain breaks somewhere in Google's infrastructure and you might not even notice. And you can also do this highly available. This is not that hard. You can have multiple Notify instances behind a HA proxy, have some shared state via Postgres, have two VMs, and it's done. So you don't even really need Kubernetes for this. If you do want details later for that, you can come talk to me. So let's get back a little bit. So much for the enterprise side. All of that works. Remember how this whole thing started? I just wanted Zulip notifications on my phone. I wanted to know if someone had written me. So I built it. I have a small repository called Zulip Mobile Notifs. And it has three paths. One is the ugly one that I showed in the very beginning. It's an Android foreground service. And the app just pulls Zulip directly, sends local notifications. You don't really need an external server that does a push gateway. And it can run completely without Google, since your phone is long polling and the metadata isn't going through that. The second thing I built, I did through a Cloudflare worker. Cloudflare also kind of sucks, but I have a lot of experience with building there. And there, you have a free option where the worker pulls Zulip with a cron trigger and then sends web push. And that also does work as a progressive web app on iOS, which is really useful because I have a few colleagues who wanted Zulip notifications, and I cannot build an iOS app. That's way too expensive and really hard. And that was the way for them that they could also get some notifications. And the actual cool part, the one that I've been talking about all along, hasn't been built yet. I've been very busy. That would be also with a worker, not on Cloudflare, but also running with WebPush. And that could go through Notify or a different distributor. And that would also be fully self-hostable with Unified Push. Yap is somewhat advanced. It has a few features. It gives you mentions for direct messages. And for ad mentions in real time, you can have more than one account in case you've got multiple Zulip instances. You can mute channels. You can have quiet hours so the thing doesn't wake you up at 3 a.m. or on the weekend. And authentication works via password, single sign-on, Zulip or CMP, this is way too much, or a manual API key. And credentials do stay on your device as long as you don't use the Cloudflare worker, and that is kind of nice. And then I kind of ran into that issue as well. The service ran in the background, pulls it, sends the notification on my test device, and then after 20 minutes, the service was just dead. There was no error message, no crash. Android just killed it. So yeah, don't kill my app, basically gave a prophecy. And I had to create that ugly app is running in the background notification for it as well, the one everyone hates. I needed that, which does make sense. Like Android says, if you want to run in the background permanently, show it to the user. So I got that foreground service with a notification, and Android finally left me alone. So that is how it started, and the problem wasn't really Zulip. Every notification on your phone went through servers that you don't control. Other countries, other laws, that's proven. We got the Wyden letter in 2023, and what started as the chat problem ends up in the alerting chain. Everything works, but it's just all on Google servers. So maybe we can improve that a little bit. Cool. What you can do tonight is maybe not install Notify, but a different distributor. But it is immensely easy. Send yourself a curl. Check if your favorite app supports Unified Push. There is a good list at unifiedpush.org. users/apps, and maybe try Molly for a week. It's signal compatible. It's the same contact, same group without Google. Cool. So I have no idea if anyone's ever going to use this, but I learned a hell of a lot, and maybe you know a little bit too. I call that a win. Thank you so much for listening. Here's a few more links, and here is all of the sources that you can check in the PDF at the link that is in the footer. If you've got any questions, please give them to me soon. Thank you.
Just because it didn't appear in the list, there's also a Telegram clone, Forkram, that supports Unified Push, so maybe that's also of interest for some. Regarding security, is anyone allowed to listen to any access point there? Because if so, you don't give Google your metadata, you give it to everyone who's listening.
No, not necessarily. So you have the distributor app, and that does the separation, but your distributor does register with a server, and the server is the one that you then need to trust. But that server you can host. Or did I misunderstand your question?
Can anyone listen? Can anyone tell the server, please tell us everything that is published on this topic?
This public Notify instance, yes. But there is ways to encrypt it, and it's not hard.
Yeah, there are options to authenticate. Yeah. I just was interested whether the default one also has some projections there. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
And more questions? Arms? Okay. One and then there.
So I guess best options then for assuming you want to build an app that has to run also on Apple ecosystems. I guess besides trying to push politically more to make it part of like the Digital Markets Act that they should be forced to also allow other notification systems. I guess the best thing that one can do as a developer is just make anonymized like notifications, like new message arrived, instead of ever sending anything more specific about the message, or is there anything else one can do?
That would still run into the same metadata problem, unfortunately. where there is still, to this app at this specific time, I sent a message where there can still be some meaning derived from that. But yes, I really like bringing up the Digital Markets Act thing again. It would be cool if there was some level of political want to finally get Apple to also not force people into giving away their data. Thank you.
So here was a question. There it is.
So you said there was there were alternative clients servers for the unified push protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you knew about Notify alternative, because I'm currently running a Notify server and I was considering switching to something else.
Mm-hmm. There's a really good one that is written in Go. There is the XMPP one. And Notify isn't that bad. We hate Slop, but they have a pretty good track record, and the person says that they have spent a lot of time properly analyzing it. It's still iffy, and I understand if people don't want to use it, but Notify, at least in my book, is still somewhat fine. But you will also find distributors plenty online, and some pretty good and proven ones.
Any more questions?
As you already wrote your own app, it's somewhat possible to create some application running on a server that notices when a notification is there. The challenge that I ran into is how to wake up the app on my smartphone. Do you have any experience there?
You can use the APIs for it. There are ways in the Android docs. There's lots of ways to wake up other apps and interact with them, as long as they don't actively knock it out. There's some banking apps and other apps that disallow it actively.
Any more? Is that a question? Okay.
One thing that I can also add is, if you do everything right and you have unified push set up and everything is de-Googled, if the other person isn't de-Googled or de-Appled and the notification is going through, you still have the problem that the other notification still pings on the other person's device. So that is also good to keep in mind. Yeah?
Yeah, not really a question, but an add-on, I guess. You can actually just hide the permanent notification of your app that it sends, and it will still work. So you don't have to have this permanent notification in your notification tray.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, as a user, I can go into this thing, long tap it, say hide,
yeah,
and then it still works.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Any cool. more questions? Of course, we've got some time left.
Yeah, thank you a lot for your talk. You mainly talked about unified push in combination with Antify. I only used Antify before with a small script I wrote. But on my phone, I use Graphene with an app called SunUp to get notifications from Element and Moshidon. And I thought that was unified push. Could you maybe explain the differences between Antify and SunUp, if you know it, or a little bit more about the infrastructure behind unified push?
Absolutely. I would have to look up SunUp myself. Is it SunApp? SunUp?
SunUp, as like the opposite of sundown.
Okay. Notify is one implementation of a unified push distributor. That you can, as a server, host, and that apps can register to. Notify also has their own app that you can easily download on the App Store, for example, not on the App Store, on the Play Store. And with SunUp, I see a weather app for now. Apparently, it is a unified push distributor using Mozilla's push server. So it is using the unified push implementation if I'm not mistaken, and just route it through Mozilla servers. So if you trust Mozilla, then that might also be an option for you.
Okay, thank you a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any more questions? I guess not. Then there's just two things to say for me. The first is, thank you very much for the talk. And the second, please wait a moment. If you now applause for our speaker, please do it as loud as possible so that downstairs they hear us. So please, round of applause.